Your Bibles this morning. Joshua chapter number 15 in your Bibles this morning. And those of you that are visiting, we've been going through the book of Joshua. We took a side route and kind of a detour last week and hit on coming off of the mountaintop. And boy, I don't know about you, but that encouraged me and helped me. I hoped it helped you. And back in Joshua, back to the grindstone, going verse by verse through the Word of God, Joshua chapter number 15. And if you look through Joshua 15, you see a bunch of names. And I think Miss Larice is, she's helping Josiah with a reading on Friday. They have a kind of little class, and she's teaching Josiah how to pronounce words. And Miss Larice, I'm not even going to try to go through this chapter, all right? It would be slaughter, and we all would feel uncomfortable, all right? So what I'm going to do is look at the last verse, because that's smart, all right? We skip all the way 62 verses of names that most of you can pronounce, and because you're all smart, and you've got West Point degrees hanging on your walls, all right? I understand that, all right? But look in Joshua chapter number 15 and verse number 63. The Bible says, "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day." Father, would you help me as I preach your word today? I need your power. God, I need you to help me to convey these truths that you've given to me. And the Lord, I pray today that we would leave with a desire to drive out the enemies in our lives. God, help us not to be content to possess the promised land, but not live a victorious life. Help us, Lord, to fight on for you. Help me as I preach in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the strangest verses and one of the craziest verses in the Word of God is over there in Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 15. At the end, the Bible says the land had rest for more. You remember the Israelites have now been in the promised land for quite some time. We know there's been some battles that have been waged. The Israelites have won. They've won the battles. God's given them victory. Man, they are excited. The walls came down at Jericho. The battle at Ai, they defeated the city. The kings of the south, they won the battle. The kings of the north, they defeated. And Caleb got his inheritance a couple weeks ago. And he looked for a son-in-law that was willing to fight and win the battle there for his daughter's hand in marriage. And we've been reading and going through victory after victory after victory. And God's been blessing. The land has been conquered. The Israelites have settled in. They've gotten their land. Each tribe has separated. And they've gone out here. They've claimed their promised land that has been given to them by Almighty God. And as you come to Joshua 14, verse number 15, the Bible says that the land had rest for more. But then you go over to chapter number 15 and verse number 63, and the Bible says that the Jebusites, they were the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The Bible says that Judah, the children of Judah, could not drive them out. You know, the Israelites had just had a great campaign. They had just won some tremendous battles. They were now resting. And unfortunately, instead of continuing going on in their victories for God, the Israelites put it at ease. They relaxed. They rested instead of going on for God. And the reality is they did not conquer all the land because they failed to continue fighting for God. They were content to dwell amongst the enemies of God instead of having complete victory in the promised land. Let me say this morning that God never grants his people furlough in the good fight of faith. In Joshua 14, verse 15, it talks about the rest from victory. It was after this great victory that the people went backwards instead of going forward for God. The Israelites had a great victory. God had given them the land. God had given them rest. And instead of continuing to go forward for God, they kicked it into neutral. And sadly, they became enslaved with what should have been an easy victory. This past week, I've been, as most of you know, here I try to knock doors. And I try to invite people to church. And I try to go at least five times a week. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I don't, but every day I'm trying to invite someone to church, give out a gospel tract, tell somebody about the Lord. But on purpose, I go out and I knock on doors like we do on some Saturdays and hang those door hangers and try to be out in the community. Well, this past Thursday or Friday, one of those days, I was out knocking doors, and I went to a rough part of town. I'm talking about, man, I was like, I need Mark as my bodyguard. I'm like, man, I'm not even packing. I'm like, where's some mace? I mean, I was all alone, you know. 911 was on speed dial, right? I'm walking with it, ready to push send. I mean, it was a brutal section to be at. And as I was walking down, as I was knocking on doors, as I was inviting folks to church, I just was amazed at some of the conditions that people are willing to live in. And you've seen it. You know, I remember when I took a missions trip, and I went to Ghana, West Africa. And I remember, man, I went to a little section in Ghana, and man, it was open sewer lines. I'm talking about the flies were all around. They were totally smelled awful. It was disgusting. People were living in these little huts. It's amazing sometimes what people are content and willing to dwell in. You know, as I think about your contentment, I wonder this morning, are you content to be a child of God and yet live in a little hut outside of the will of God? Are you content to be on the winning side? Is it that song goes, we're on the winning side? Are you content to be on the winning side and yet live in the dumps of the dumps when it comes to your spiritual life? Understand this morning that God desires for us to live in the palace of the Christian life. He desires for us to be victorious. God wants you. He desires for me to be successful and to conquer the land. And yet the reality is, if that's going to be the case in my life, there are some decisions and there's some choices that I've got to make in my life if I'm going to be that conqueror for Christ. And so, why did the Israelites, what happened? How come they had rest from the war, and yet they were unable to defeat the Jebusites? Would you notice, first of all, here in this passage, really, there's three verses we're going to highlight in chapter 15, 16, and 17 about how they could not drive them out. And I'd like to preach on that subject. They could not drive them out. Why could they not drive the Jebusites out of the land? Notice, first of all, they failed to win the battle because, number one, they failed to maintain. They failed to maintain. Look in verse number 63 again. It says, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem under the stay. All right, remember, go back to chapter number 10 in your memory bank, where we just preached on it a couple months ago. Chapter number 10, the Israelites had great victory. I remember the Israelites had made the league with the Gibeonites. Remember, they didn't seek God's counsel. They had just come off the battle of Ai. Here come the Gibeonites from the southern part of Israel, and they come with moldy bread and broken bottles, and they look like they've, you know, walked and traveled for many, many miles. And the Israelites made a league with Gibeon. They said, we'll be your friends. We'll yoke up together. And the next day, or a couple days later, they found out the Gibeonites dwelt among them. And so the Gibeonites in Israel, they were at peace. Well, remember Jerusalem and the kings of the south, when they heard about the Gibeonites making peace with Israel, they all ganged up together. And they said, if Gibeon did that, we're going to attack Gibeon, and we're going to wipe them out, and we're going to destroy them. And so all these kings, the kings of the Jebusites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and all these ites come together, and they're going to go fight the Gibeonites. Well, Israel gets word of it. And they sent for help, and so Joshua and the Israelites come down to Gibeon's aid. And remember the story when Joshua said to the sun, stand still, and to the moon, stand still. And for a whole day, man, they fought the battle, and God gave them that miraculous victory. Man, it was a wonderful, exciting time. Israel had defeated the Jebusites. The Jebusites had been defeated. Man, they had been conquered. They had claimed the promised land. They're south of Jericho. Man, God is blessing. The kings are under siege. Man, they're defeated. They're scattered all about. The kings of those ites, they've been killed. And yet, what do you find in verse number 63? Here's the Israelites. They had victory with the Jebusites. They've already conquered them. They've already subdued them. And yet what happens? The Jebusites are a thorn in Israel's side. Why? Why did Israel fail to win? Why did they have to continue to deal with the Jebusites? I see number one, they failed to win the battle because they failed to maintain. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Israel had made progress, they had won the battle, and what happened? They left the battle, and they went and they continued fighting elsewhere. They failed to maintain the land that God had given them. I think of the great illustration of my garden. I love my garden when it produces fruit. All right, when it doesn't, I don't like it. I don't like my garden right now, all right? I'm kind of disappointed with it, except for the cherry tomatoes. They're blooming and blossoming like crazy. But I think about my garden, man. When my garden was little, and when there was really just seeds in it, it was a piece of cake to deal with. I mean, man, I borrowed Mark's tiller, and man, I went down the rows and tilled everything up, and I planted the seeds, and even though they were crazy, they weren't straight, I planted them, and man, I went out there at night, and I watered the garden, and then, you know, a couple of weeks later, up springs different things, and man, it was easy when they were little, but you go back out to my garden now, and you see where the carrots are at, and you see where the beets are at, you know what you see? You see one big old messy, you know, garden of grass and weeds. Why? Because you know what I failed to do is I failed to weed my garden. You know, I got the weed eater. That's a great way to weed or to take care of a garden. But in between the small lines of the carrots and the beets, I couldn't do that. And so, man, I let it overgrow, right? Hey, 3 months ago, it looked perfect. It looked like a nice little garden. Hey, now it looks like one big old grassy heap. Why? Because as a gardener, and I like using fancy terms, as a gardener, you know, I ought to go drink some tea, you know. But as a gardener, I failed to maintain the weeds. Hey, if you don't maintain your garden, it's going to be a mess. And let me just say, child of God, if you do not maintain your spiritual walk with God, you will make progress in certain areas, and then you'll look back and you'll be like, man, that is a mess. Hey, can I just be honest with you, folks? Can I give you a personal illustration? I know you always, pastors are, they're not supposed to be real with people is what I've read in books. All right, let me just give you a personal illustration, all right? When I was growing up, I struggled, my wife and I, we talked about this week, it's been a battle this week, all right? You pray for me, but when I was growing up, I struggled with a temper. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, you know, I did not have red hair, but I act like a redhead, you know? I'm talking about, you know, bad temper, you know, fly off the handle, no big deal, right? I'm talking about, man, I just had a problem with my temper. Well, I remember, you know, man, God deal with me, work with my heart about it, man. You got to get that right. You got to get the victory. You got to go forward for God. You can't let this continue to defeat you. Now, I remember I started to memorize verses. Now, I remember I used to get on my knees and say, God, help me. I can't win the battle. Man, I'm struggling with my temper. I'm struggling with my anger. I'm struggling with these issues. God, I need your help. Now, I remember God started to give me the victory. It's like the Jebusites, man, they're there in Jerusalem. Big old city, I'm talking about, man, big old walls. I'm talking about, if you've ever seen Jerusalem, it's on top of a hill. Back in those days before there was plains, man, if you were to go fight on top of a city on a hill, it was brutal to win the battle because of its strategic placing, right? I mean, I looked at the anger in my life, and that was a big old city. And boy, I was trying to defeat it through the power of God. I was memorizing verses, trying to read my Bible, trying to pray about it, trying to get the victory. And then God gave me great victory. I'm talking about, man, I was living for God. It was like, man, I was very chilled. I was very relaxed. I was like, man, no problems at all. And I'm talking about 15 years of victory, all right? But we moved down here to Alabama. And I don't know what it is, all right? I don't know what's in your water, all right? But let me just say, I have been struggling with my anger. I don't know why. I can't explain. But you know what I have found? You know what God's convicted me about? Is, hey, you know what I can't afford to do in my life? I can't give up the Jerusalems in my life. Hey, there was victory 15 years ago. You know what God does not want me to do? God doesn't want me to be focused on, well, let's build the church, and let's build people, and let's, you know, teach on prayer, and let's teach on going through Joshua and Timothy, and let's maintain all this. And God wants me to be busy doing that, but you know what God wants me to also be focused on? He wants me to be weeding the anger in my life. God wants me to be dealing with the things of the past. God does not want my anger to overtake me. God does not want me to give into my flesh. No, God wants me to maintain the past as well as go forward for God in the future. You know what I'm afraid we do so many times in our life? We get victory over an area in our life, and we go on and go on and go on, and all of a sudden, 10 years later, we look back and we're struggling with the same things all over again. You say, why, Pastor? Why is that the case? Hey, years ago, I had victory over my thought life. Why am I struggling with it again? Well, you know, you start with pornography, man. Don't go watch the commercials, man. Don't go. You know, don't go on the websites where there's immorally clad women. Hey, don't. You say, I had victory years ago. Now I'm struggling again. Get the victory. Maintain your spiritual walk with God. But what happens so many times in our lives? We fail to maintain the land that God's already given us. Because we're focused on the future. We're focused on the brighter lights and more victories instead of maintaining the past. Why did they lose the battle? They lost the battle because they failed to maintain. There was a miracle that occurred. God has given us victories in our life. We can all look back and we see, hey, I struggled with this issue. I struggled with that issue. God gave me victory. God gave me a complete victory. And yet, what do? We go on and we fail so many times to maintain that victory. You say, Pastor, God's given me victory over my tongue. He's given me victory over being covetous, over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You say, but I'm struggling. How can I have victory in the promised land? Get back to maintaining the land that God's given you. Why did they lose the battle? They lost the battle because they failed to maintain the land that God had given them. So what's the message for us? The message for us is to remember that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The message is, hey, be faithful. Keep on going for God. Fight the good fight of faith. We are on the winning side. We are to remember that we are to be good soldiers to Jesus Christ. We're neither to give place to the devil. Remember, to reap fruit, in order to have victory, in order to reap fruit, it will take time. Keep on weeding and reading. Keep on watering and growing. Don't let the past victories be an excuse for not going forward for God today. Well, Pastor, I get around some folks and they say, well, Friday I was talking to a guy. Well, you know, Pastor, you know, years ago I was in the ministry. Years ago I used to teach Sunday school. Years ago I used to do this. Well, what are you doing now? You're sitting on your porch smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, man. What are you doing now, you know? And what happened? Hey, somewhere along the lines he got sidetracked and he failed to maintain that little Jebusite Jerusalem. And all of a sudden became a monster in his life. They talk about marriage. You know, the importance of maintaining your marriage. The importance of working on your marriage. The importance of communication. The importance of dealing with these small issues so that they don't become big issues. Hey, the issue, the reality of maintaining what God's given you. Can I ask you this morning, child of God, are you maintaining the land of the Jebusites? Are you maintaining Jerusalem? Are you going back over and asking God for victory again and asking God to help you to continue walk with God and getting victory in that area of your life? Or are you just laying down and saying, oh, no big deal? Why did they fail to win that land? Because number one, they failed to maintain. But notice over in chapter number 16 and verse number 10. The story goes on. It says, and they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Notice, second of all, this morning, they could not drive them out. Why? Because number two, I see that the Israelites failed to deal with pet sins. They failed to deal with secret sins. They failed to deal with the things that they... Notice what it says there in verse 10. It says at the end, it says, unto this day, and serve under tribute. You know what the Israelites did? You know what they did to the Canaanites? The Bible says that here they were, they were dwelling in the land. What was God's plan for the Israelites? God's plan was for them to be defeated. All those ites, and by the way, that's God's plan for you and for me. So you say, well, Pastor, why didn't they deal with the Gibeonites? Why didn't they deal with the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Amorites? Why all these ites? Why did they put up with them? Well, let me ask you, why do you put up with your lustites? Why do we put up with our covetousites? Why do we put up with our angerites? I mean, we just go through it and we just change the names, all right? We have a bunch of ites in our life. Why did they not get victory over the Canaanites? Because what do? They put them under tribute. You know what Israel was doing? Instead of having victory, they were getting paid to let them live, and they served under tribute. That means when it was harvest time, man, they brought the Israelites food. Man, when it's taxes, man, they brought them money. When it was time for them to, you know, to fix something, then they call the local guy and say, hey, I'm not paying you, come fix this or we'll chop your head off, right? I mean, then they would make them serve as slaves for them. They served under tribute. Instead of getting rid of the sin, they put up with their pet sin because it was benefiting them. You know, I'm afraid of my life. I'm afraid so many times I fail to have victory because I refuse to wipe out the pet sins of my life. And instead I maintain them. And instead I put them under tribute, and I pull them out when I want satisfaction. I pull them out when I want to live for the moment. I pull them out when I want to act selfishly. Hey, that's exactly where many of us are this morning. God wants us to have victory, but we're not willing to sever the pet sins in our life. But instead, we're willing to maintain them. That means we're putting miracle grow on them. That means we're picking the fruit of them. That means we're going out and hanging out under the trees with them. That means we are dwelling among them, happily maintaining our lives while putting up with our pet sins. Let me remind you this morning that God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. You say, well, Pastor, nobody knows about my pet sins. Nobody knows about the sins that I have under tribute. Nobody knows about these small little deals. Let me tell you, friend, it may be a small deal in your mindset, but sin is a big deal in God's eyes. And God says that we ought to be a free also youth for us. You know what that word free means? That means I'm going this way, and then I'm walking down that path, and there's that snake in the road, and then it scares me to death, and I jump back, and I go running the opposite way. And that means here comes the lion in my path, and then I run as fast away from the lion as I can. That means, you know what, the shark week this week on Discovery, right? Man, you're swimming in the ocean, you know, here comes a shark swimming towards you. Man, you're swimming as fast as you go that way. Hey, the Bible says that we are to flee also youth lust. I wonder, are you fleeing it, or are you petting it? You know, about once a month, you jump on Fox News or whatever website you go on to read the news. You jump on, it's funny. Well, I don't know if this is, it's not funny, but you get the story. About once a month, you'll read a story about a person that has a pet lion or a pet cobra or a, you know, pet, you know, big old snake or, you know what I'm saying, or a pet alligator in their bathtub. You know, you read about these stories about people that have these weird pets. By the way, why would you want a pet lion, all right? Never understood that. You know, a pet bear or whatever. But they were, you know, they have all these pets. And the headline is, you know, toddler killed by, you know, mammoth snake that was living in their house. And, you know, the news breaks out. Boy, that's such a sad story. You know, why did this, and they talk about, well, why did the snake, you know, kill the little kid? Because that's what snakes are supposed to do. You know, the snakes are hungry. And they're looking for food, and man, the python grabs that snake, and that child, and man, that's what they're supposed to do. Why do alligators eat kids? You know, that's what they do. You know, and it's so shocking to the world when, man, this alligator that was a family pet ate this individual. That's what alligators are supposed to do. You know what we do with our sin so many times? We treat it like a pet. We pet it. You know, we make sure it takes a bath. We make sure that it has a soft pillow to lay its head on. We make sure it has good food. What are we doing? We are maintaining the alligator until all of a sudden, boom, the alligator chops our head off and we wonder, why in the world is my marriage a mess? Why in the world are my kids a mess? Why in the world am I broken spiritually? Why am I not having victory in the promised land? God wants me to have the victory, but I'm maintaining my own private pet sins. Why did they fail to win the battle? They failed to win the battle because they failed to deal with the pet sins. They maintained their sins. They reaped the benefits of that sin instead of having victory for God. Sin may be fun for a season, but the season will change. It will eventually destroy and ruin your home, ruin your marriage, ruin your kids, ruin your own body. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So let me ask you this morning, child of God, why in the world are we putting the Canaanites under tribute instead of getting rid of them completely? I wonder, maybe they failed to deal with it because they were scared. There was a cowardice. Well, what will people think of me if I change my life? What will people think of me if I walk an aisle and say, man, I need to get right with God, and boy, you can get the victory here at the altar? Hey, maybe it's slothfulness. Maybe you say, well, preacher, it takes too much time and effort to teach the old dog new tricks. Hey, for Israel, man, God wanted them to have the victory. You know what that meant? That meant they had to pull out that old dusty sword. They had to go out and probably get some sore muscles and cuts and bruises in the battle. Hey, you know what? Maybe they just said, I'd rather just sit back and ease. Instead of go out and do something for God. I love that verse where the Bible says, woe unto you that are at ease in Zion. Woe unto you that are sitting around slothful in your lazy boy, failing to go forward for God. Hey, maybe it's because of your disobedience. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 20, verse 16, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. That's what God said. He said, you're not to save anything alive that breathes. He says, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. Why did they fail to drive them out? Why did they become enslaved to them? Because they failed to obey God and his word. Understand, child of God, this morning, as long as you live in disobedience, you may come to church, sing the songs of Zion, put your money in the offering plate, enjoy conversations among God's people, but if you're not going to deal with sin in your life, then understand you will one day be defeated. Why? Because you're failing to deal with the pet sins of your life. Why did they lose the battle? Why could they not drive them out? Because number one, they failed to maintain. Number two, because they failed to deal with their pet sins. But notice over there in chapter number 17 and verse number 12. It says, yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of these cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. All right, you see over there, look back in 15 and verse 63. It says, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. We see in chapter 16 and verse number 10 that they serve under tribute. And yet as we come to verse number 12 of chapter 17, the Bible says that they could not drive them out. Why? Because they failed to obey God. Let me say this morning, the consequences of not obeying God are disastrous. Look in verse 13 of chapter 17. It says, yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. You know, as I read verse 13 this week, and really last week, God really been dealing with me about these verses. You know, think about our church. Church, God's doing something here. I'm talking about God is visibly doing something here in this church. I think about what's taking place here in this. If any of you have followed at all the Burlington revival over there in Burlington, North Carolina, man, they're having nightly crowds, 4,000 or 5,000 people coming. I mean, God's moving there. I read yesterday about up in the upstate of South Carolina, there was a preachers' meeting. 43 pastors got together, and that never happens. All right. 43 pastors got together and they were pleading with God to send revival. I read about a revival up in New Hampshire. The church in Concord, New Hampshire threw a tent up. Said, we're going to have a revival meeting. Man, God broke out, people getting saved, and they're extending that revival. I read about in Howland, Maine, about a youth conference a couple days ago. And man, God is moving God's word. Let me just say, God is working and God is moving. But you know, in order for us to continue to see victory, you know what we have to do? When we're strong, we've got to get rid of it. I'm talking about when we're on the mountaintop. When we're in the valley, you know what? Hey, we'll just quit. You know what I'm talking about? When you woe is me and you're defeated and boy, you can't win. Yeah, in the valley, man, it's when we're on the mountaintop, when we're strong. That's when we need to deal with these things. And so can I ask you this morning, what are you going to do with your pet sins? What are you going to do with the past victories that you failed to maintain? Are you going to let them just go by the wayside like my garden and grow crazy and wild and uncontrolled? Or are you going to go back to that secret place and say, God, I need your help. God, I need the victory. God, I need your strength. God, I need you even more than I needed you 15 years ago. I need you now. Why did Israel lose the battle? Why could they not drive them out? They lost the battle because they failed to maintain. And they lost the battle because they failed to deal with pet sins in their life. Can I ask you this morning, where are you at? Where are you at? Are you winning the victory? Or are you like the Israelites, content to dwell among the ites of the land? God wanted them to have victory, but they failed to have victory. Why? Because they failed to maintain and they failed to deal with pet sins. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word this morning, and I believe you've worked today. And Lord, I believe there's some right now that have some pet sins in their life that they need to deal with. Lord, I believe there's some others, Lord, that you've really worked in their hearts about victory in the past, but they failed to maintain. Lord, I pray this morning that we would have victory. God, help us to be broken. David said, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Help us be broken over our sin today in order to have the victory. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder this morning how many would say, Pastor Schwenke, I've been losing the battle. God's given me the victory. I'm saved. I'm in the promised land of salvation. But I've been losing the Jebusites and the Canaanites and all the other ites in my life. Maybe because I'm failed to maintain. You say, Pastor, man, years ago I had victory, but I'm struggling again. Maybe there's secret sins in your life. There's pet sins in your life that you're putting under tribute instead of wiping it out and getting rid of. I wonder how many would say, Pastor, this morning, God spoke to my heart. I need the victory. Would you pray for me? I need to respond in a biblical way. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? Preacher, God spoke to my heart. Man, number of hands. Number of hands. Hey, praise God. Good. Good. Anybody else? That's me, Pastor. Good. Amen. Hey, this morning, God spoke to your heart. Let's get the victory. Let's leave different than when we came in. Or lastly, with everyone that say, Pastor Schwenke, I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I know Jesus died for me on the cross and rose again, and today I need to be saved. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Not sure I'm saved. Here's my hand. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. Need to be saved this morning. Here's my hand. Well, Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today, and I thank you for the tenderness of your people. Now, Lord, help us to do business with you. Lord, help us not to leave the same way we came in, but let us leave victorious for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all take our hymn books and turn to hymn number 388 this morning.